Scripture reading the scenes from Philippians chapter 1, 20 and 21. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live as Christ and to die as
I ran across a wonderful story of a farmer named Perkins in Idaho. He grew potatoes. That's not surprising, I guess. Idaho potatoes. He grew potatoes, but there had been an untimely frost. And what the insects had left, the frost finished off. And so it was terrible. The tops were riddled with bugs, and now the crop was entirely destroyed. He met a friend at the post office, and the fella at the post office said, "Hey, hello, Perkins. How's everything?" And his response was, "Trouble enough, Williamson. Trouble enough. A million potato bugs and nothing for them to eat." I kind of like his response. It's a bit of satire, I think, in terms of his response. But the response, I think, could well have been how our Apostle Paul might have responded to his circumstance. He indeed is in an unusual circumstance. And he is he's under house arrest in Rome. It's not the way he intended to go to Rome. I think he thought he would buy a ticket and sail to Rome, but he goes there as a prisoner, and he's under house arrest awaiting trial. His response might have been a bit of satire, but it really isn't that at all. The folks back in Philippi had been folks who'd been supporting him all along. They were sort of his supporting congregation. He will move from Philippi and he'll go down to Thessalonica and they'll support him there. He'll move to Corinth, they'll support him there. He's now off in prison under house arrest and they send goods and a helper to meet him there. They've done everything they can to meet his needs. But he's learned a bit about that church and he knows what's happening. The folks there are discouraged. There is impending division. There are two sisters named Euodia and Syntyche who for some reason just can't get along. There are false teachers who are now diluting the gospel message, and it's a sort of trouble that they're facing, and he's aware of that. In a very real way, the part that we're looking at this evening is Paul's, as one author calls it, his missionary report. Even though it's a missionary report and he's going to report some exciting news, I think there's a bit of encouragement in the text, even for those of us living in the 21st century. And so we're going to begin at chapter 1, verse 12. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorium Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Interesting language, isn't it? He's a bit encouraged by what's happening there. It's so easy to focus on our plight. If things are going poorly, he could have focused on how bad it is and how he's under house arrest and he's chained, interestingly enough, even though he is in a rental home and he has the right for folks to come and visit him freely. He's chained to a soldier all day long. There are probably four soldiers who took turns, each of them chained to him part of the day. And so it wasn't a good circumstance. But he wants them to know his circumstances. My circumstances, and it really interestingly enough, that was a text that Doug even talked about this morning, where Paul talked about his circumstances, and he gives thanks for his circumstances there, that we should, in fact, he says we should give thanks in all circumstances, no matter what happens our way. And here, Paul is giving thanks for his circumstance. He's in a rented house, and his circumstances are not great. He is imprisoned. He's waiting judicial proceedings. But he's not after sympathy. He doesn't want them to feel sorry for what's happening here. In fact, he sees some good that's coming out of it. He has a glowing report of his ministry, even under house arrest. And I think it's really quite striking. Here is Paul in chains. But he's going to make a big deal of the fact that I may be in chains, but the gospel isn't in chains. The gospel is going on. It's being declared despite all of this. It's something wonderful that is happening. It reminds me of a wonderful story at the end of the book of Genesis. At the end of the book of Genesis, there's this wonderful story about good old Joseph. You remember Joseph's terrible plight. His brothers sell him off into slavery. He goes down there. He comes to the top. He does really well. And interestingly enough, his brothers are concerned. Their dad has just died, and they're concerned about how he's going to respond to them. And he says, you know, despite the fact that you meant it for bad for me, you wanted to imprison me, God has meant it for good. Good has come out of this. You folks have been saved by this, and the folks in Egypt are eating because of all of this, and God had something else in mind. And I think to some degree that's what Paul has in mind here. He knows, most of us know somebody who is the kind of person who gets something out of nothing. They're going to be successful even though they have nothing. And that, often we think about them being poor folks who will end up being rather rich, wealthy. But here, it's not financial gain. For Paul, it's the gospel. Notice the language. It is the progress of the gospel. The gospel is progressing even though I'm under house arrest. I can't preach in a church, but I can preach the gospel still. And it's quite wonderful. Wonderful things are happening, he says. He's in prison, so he will preach to pagans. And they're folks who would never come to church. It's the Praetorian Guards. Can you imagine being chained to Paul for 4 hours at a time? You know what you're going to hear from Paul? You're going to hear some gospel from Paul. And here are folks who are Praetorian Guard soldiers hearing the gospel preached. And it's folks he says, I wouldn't get to preach to. They're not going to come to church, but they're here. And not only that, but you know, my brethren, my brothers and sisters elsewhere, back home in Philippi and wherever I've been, wherever I've ministered, they are trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. They know, and they've got courage now to speak the word of God without fear. See, that's pretty wonderful. People now, because they see me standing here, and they see that I'm able to take it, are able to decide that they can take it too. And I think that's the kind of message for us. No matter how bad the circumstances are, we can share the good news of Jesus in our circumstances, whatever those circumstances are. And it's really quite amazing. It is, speak the word of God without fear. He goes on to say in verse 15, but some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for a defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. Now, it's really interesting how he describes it. First of all, there are some folks who are preaching out of envy and strife. They're preaching the gospel to get me in trouble. They think that if I get lots of folks responding to the gospel, the government's going to come down hard on me and I'm going to get in trouble. And so they're preaching to get me in trouble. Isn't that interesting? And he says, the other folks, though, who are preaching it out of goodwill, do so for love of the gospel because they know I've been appointed for the defense of the gospel. You see, they love the gospel. They know why I've been appointed an apostle, and so they want to continue what I'm doing. They proclaim it, the first folks proclaim it out of selfish ambition rather than pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. And so it's really quite an interesting task. And so here are folks who are doing it for the wrong reason and some folks doing it for the right reason. I have been around some preachers that I think are in it for the wrong reason. I think there are some preachers who are in it for the money because they're making amazingly good salaries. I've heard of folks who are making $100,000 preaching the gospel. That, by the way, neither of us make that kind of money, and we don't plan to make that kind of money, and we're not in it for the money, that's not the issue. The issue is if they're preaching the right message, he's going to make a big deal of what really matters to him is the message that's being preached. What then? Only that in every way, whether pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. He says what really matters to him is that the message is being preached. I don't care if folks are doing it for the wrong reason. By the way, I've been around some preachers that I think are in it for the wrong reason. But if they're doing the right message, that's what matters. If Jesus is being preached and folks are responding to that message, it makes no difference to me, Paul says. Now, isn't that an amazing response from a man who's under house arrest in Rome, awaiting a trial? Yes, I rejoice. If Christ is preached, that's what matters to me. And so he really emphasizes that. It's a wonderful response to what's happening here. And then he goes on to say that one must put his faith in the sovereign God. For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I think what's going to come out of this is I'm going to be delivered. By the way, the word deliverance there is often translated salvation. It's my salvation, my deliverance through your prayers. I think Paul doesn't expect to die in prison. He really now expects to be released from prison, and he thinks their prayers for him and God being sovereign, God is in charge, he's going to be released from prison. He's going to come back and get to visit those folks again. And sure enough, that's exactly what's going to happen. Interestingly enough, we don't get it here, but we'll learn from what we learn in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that he will be released from prison after 2 years in prison. He was 2 years under arrest in Caesarea on the sea, Caesarea Maritima, and now he's 2 years in prison in Rome, and after 2 years, they're going to let him go. And he will get to go back. He will drop good old Titus off in Crete, and he'll drop Timothy off in Ephesus, and he will go back to Macedonia. And you know where he's going to go? He's going to visit these folks in Philippi. I mean, after all, that's his favorite church. They're the folks he loves so much. They've supported him all along. He's going to visit those folks again. And so he says, it's because of your prayers and because God is sovereign, it's all going to work out. According to my earnest expectation and hope, I have put my hope in this. By the way, hope isn't wishful thinking. He's not saying, I hope I get out, and I don't know whether I will or not. He's sure he will, and he's waiting on this once and for all deliverance. I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness I'll preach. And I think that's the prayer he hopes they'll say. He hopes they're praying that he will have boldness to preach the message wherever he is, whether he's in Rome under house arrest or he gets free and he gets to come back and visit them. He wants to be able to preach the gospel with boldness, to preach Christ. And I will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether I live or die, I will be exalted, lifted up, because I'm preaching the good news of Jesus. And it's such a wonderful message that gives hope. And then it's this last verse that is the striking one. For to me is live to live, and to Christ and to die is, try again, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I live, it's Jesus. And that's what I live for. I live for him. I live to preach his message. I live to live a life for him. I live to bring glory to him. And dying is gain. I'm going to come out ahead if I die. Now, that's the kind of message I hope we can all say. You know, I may be facing illness. And we have some folks who are facing some pretty severe illnesses. And a lot of them, I love going to visit folks who have that kind of faith. Even in the hospital, they're dying. And I've been there to hold their hand when they die. And that's pretty tough to be there and see that. But to do that with folks who say, I'm ready to go, because I'm going to go be with the Lord. To have folks like that, who have that kind of faith, who have the kind of faith I hope I'll have when that time comes. But Paul says to die is gain. I'd be ahead. You know, if I have to choose, later on he's going to say, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I got to make a choice. Am I going to live or am I going to die? And dying would be gain for me, and living might be to your glory. It might be good for you, but it's going to be harder for me because it is this wonderful message. It's a wonderful message that I think gives us hope. A preacher had gone to visit an elderly man who, he said, "How long have you been a Christian?" And he said, "Oh, I've been a Christian for 50 years. The preacher's response was, "Well, after keeping your faith for so long, I guess you're pretty confident of holding out till the end." And his response was, "Brother, that's not the question. It's not a question of my holding on. The Lord is holding on to me. The Bible says I can put my trust in Him." And that's exactly where Paul's put his trust. And that's the message for us. You see, again, it's a message that is a missionary report, but really it's a message of hope for his audience. And in turn, it's a message of hope for us as well. The adversities will result in my salvation. I've put my hope in Christ, His provision through the Holy Spirit. And that's what really matters. No matter what happens, life or death, Christ will be exalted, and I pray that I'll have boldness. It's how good things come out of bad things. By the way, we had that in the morning lesson as well, didn't we? Good things come out of bad things. And he's saying good things have come out of bad things. I've been in prison. I've got to preach to folks I would never have gotten to preach to. And some folks have more courage to preach the message. And even those who are trying to get me in trouble are preaching the right message. And Jesus is being preached. What a wonderful hope this man has. I hope we can have the same kind of hope and faith that Paul does. He's a man who's put his faith in Christ and in the salvation that is his through Jesus. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to have our faith. And I hope that we can have the same kind of trust that he does. We're going to sing an invitation song, and it may be that we have folks this evening who need to respond to that invitation. If you need to respond in any way, we'd bid you to do that while we stand and sing this closing song.